is to obey, to keep, and to do His commandments. And I want you to remember that, because I'm going to talk to you about a whole bunch of stuff tonight. I'm going to quote you verses. So if you're ready, please get ready, because I'm going to quote you some stuff. All right, now here we go. In Genesis chapter 26, verse 5. I want the word of Yahweh to speak for itself. What is the duty that we have to do as believers? It says, I only want Shirach to please post verses for me. She's got my teaching and she's already ahead of the game, so she knows what's coming. In Genesis 26:5 says, "But because Abraham obeyed, here we go, my voice, and kept my charge, my commandments, and my statutes, and my Torah." There, Torah. Okay, the Torah, the commandments. Now, notice that from the beginning, you follow Abraham, who, by the way, Christianity bases the whole belief system on what happened to Abraham. And they're using Abraham as a crutch of an excuse not to obey the Torah. But yet we see here in Genesis 26, verse 5, that it says that Abraham obeyed the voice, and he kept the charge, and the statutes and his laws. Okay, you see, what's interesting, Abraham believed by faith. He walked by faith. He left the land of Ur by faith. You see, he acted upon his belief. Yahweh did not bless him when he was in the land of Ur, in the land of the heathen. Yahweh began to bless him as he began to walk, and he came into the promised land. He took action upon his belief. And what we see here is people's lack of understanding what is obedience and what is redemption. We have all been redeemed, but we need to obey the commandments, and that's the topic of this message. And now, let's go back to Romans chapter 4. We're going to read verse 1 through 13. Okay, because everybody uses Romans to refute the Torah. I cannot believe that people take issue with the heart of Yahweh. I cannot believe that people say, they call themselves lovers of the Messiah. They have issues with the commandments that Yeshua, the Messiah, kept. I cannot believe that people think that the commandments of Yahweh are burdensome. I cannot believe that even though the Messiah has given all these Gentiles and heathens the opportunity to be grafted into Israel, to be grafted into the people of Israel, to be called a holy nation, to be called a nation of priests, now they're using the Paul, the writings, and that grace and that mercy as an excuse not to obey the Torah. I cannot believe that. And I will not compromise on that. And if anybody thinks I'm arrogant because I want to stand on the statutes of the Torah and defend what Yahweh says, then so be it. Then I'm arrogant in their eyes. It's okay. But you know what? I'd rather stand up in confidence and quote you what Torah says than be pacifying Christians and be trying to be their friends and not correcting them their mistake. And that's my whole premise. And that's the ministry that I do. So I'm not here to be liked. But you have to love me because the Torah says you have to. Amen. Here we go. Romans chapter 4, verse 1 through 13. Get ready. I'm going to quote you a whole bunch of verses. All right. It says this. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, notice the context of the book of Romans is only about one thing. Okay? Justification by faith. Justification. It's not talking about redemption. He understood that those people are already redeemed. But how are they justified to be coming back into the covenant? Justification by faith. That is the issue. Unfortunately, people don't read enough in the context to understand what it's really trying to tell us. Alright, here we go. He hath whereof to glory, but not before Elohim. For what said the scripture? Abraham believed Elohim, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Yes, he believed, faith, emunah. But we all know that the concept Hebraically of faith, emunah, okay? I already have Siddharth, Jacqueline, thanks. I appreciate it, but she's the one posting tonight because she got the teaching ahead of time. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. So anyway, Romans chapter 4, it tells you that the whole context is justification. Okay, justification of faith, by faith. Alright, so here we go. For what the scripture said, Abraham believed Elohim, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Verse 4 of Romans 4. Now to him that worketh in the reward not reckon of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believe on him that justified the ungodly. The context is justification. His faith counted for righteousness, even as David also described the blessedness of the man, unto whom Elohim imputed righteousness without works. Says, same, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? That's the question. And then it says, for we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. And now, on verse 10, it goes on to explain to you the context of circumcision and uncircumcision. What does that mean? And this is how I know how Hebraic the Brit Hadashah really is. Watch this. When Paul begins to make a connection here between the circumcised and the uncircumcised, now he is talking against the system, the Pharisaic system, versus the people who are not circumcised, the Pharisees and the Gentiles, or the dispersed of Israel coming back in. So come this blessedness then upon the circumcision only. In other words, is the blessedness only comes upon the Israelites that are circumcised, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for circumcision. And then it goes on to explain to you how. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in circumcision? Not in circumcision, but in circumcision. Now we can go on for a long time here and talk about the three methods of circumcision in Judaism. Hatafat dan brit, peruiah, and metziksah. But we're not going to talk about those today. Okay? Right? So what we're going to do, we're going to talk about basically what Paul is trying to do is teach you about faith, how somebody can be justified to come into the gospel. Is it through the system of religion, the circumcision, or is it through faith? Is it by the works of the Pharisees, or is it by believing Yahweh the Father through the atonement of His Son Messiah, the Son of the Messiah? Are you following me? And it says this. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of righteousness of the faith which he had yet been uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all that believed, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness may be imputed unto them also. He is saying that circumcision doesn't make you a believer. Circumcision is the seal of the covenant. Believing is what allows you to be part of the covenant. Circumcision comes later. I don't care to get into that right now, but I hope this is making sense to you. Are you guys following me? Are you with me? Are you with me? Come on, let me know. Give me one or two. Now, verse 11 says, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet been uncircumcised. Listen to the language. A seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet been uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness may be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them, who are not of the circumcisions only, but who also walk. Watch this. But who also, listen to this verse. You got it. I'm going to post it. Because you see, the expression walk is very significant here. Okay? The expression walk is very significant. It says, and the father of circumcision, which is, you know, to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of the faith of our fathers Abraham, which he had yet been uncircumcised. So you have to walk, and this is my whole premise. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the Torah, but through the righteousness of faith. So that's why you have to believe. Okay, now, let's go to Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. Exodus chapter 15, verse 26 says this, and say, if thou wilt diligently hearken. Now, I want you to notice the language. We are going to let the word of Yahweh speak. For once and for all, we are one to let the word of Yahweh tell us what Yahweh requires of us. Just believe, and that's it. And believe in the love, or walking in the commandments to show whom we love. See, there's a Hebraic mindset. See, I don't care how much you tell me you love God. I want to see how many commandments you keep. That tells me which God you serve. If you're not keeping the commandments of Yahweh, you're not serving the Yahweh that I know in the Torah. Okay? Exodus 15:26 says, "And say, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of Yahweh your Elohim, and will do," there it is, "do, which that is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am Yahweh that healeth you." Now, hey, we can do a midrash on this one. Watch this. The condition of you not getting sick is if you diligently hearken, if you do, if you give ear, and if you keep his commandments. That's what it says there. If you do those things, then he has promised that none of the curses and none of the diseases, I'm sorry, of Egypt will come upon us. That's a beautiful blessing, right? Exodus 28. "And Yahweh said unto Moses, how long refuse you to keep my commandments and my Torahs?" Interesting. See, this is a judgment because they were keeping Torah. But who gave the Torah in Mount Sinai? Okay? Who gave Torah in Mount Sinai? And then we're going to connect this with Yeshua later on. Yeshua is the living word. We believe that. Okay? But according to the Targum of Palestine says that Exodus 20 verse 1 says, "And Yahweh spake all these words, saying," the Jerusalem Targum says, "and the Memra of Yahweh spake all this excellency, all the words saying." In other words, the ancient Targums are saying that it was the Memra, the word of Yahweh, the image of the invisible Elohim, that spoke the words. That explains why Yeshua says, "If you love me, keep my commandments," because he is the living word, according to John 1:1. Exodus chapter 20 verse 6 says this, "And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me," now watch the connection, "that love me and keep my commandments." So let me ask you guys a question. According to the way we look at that verse, if you don't keep the commandments, are you loving Yahweh? If you don't keep the commandments, you're not loving Yahweh, because the verse says, "And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me." And immediately after that, it says, "and keep my commandments." What is really interesting, Yeshua said the same thing. If you love me, keep my commandments. But Christianity doesn't do that. They want to keep their own commandments. They want to keep Easter. They want to keep Christmas. They want to do Sunday. They want to do whatever. They want to eat swine. They want to do whatever the Torah doesn't say. But they're saved. They're redeemed. They're going to be raptured out. It's okay. We can do whatever we want. Well, Israel got punished, and Israel got into the dispersion because of breaking the commandments and the Torah. Now, Christianity is better than anybody else, and now they are going to be exempt from being judged according to their disobedience. According to their disobedience. You follow what I'm saying? Now, in chapter 24 of Exodus, verse 12, Exodus 24, verse 12 says this, "And Yahweh said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount. I will give you tablets of stone and a law and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them." The expression, who is them? Let's go to Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 29, let's find out who is them. We know there was a mixed multitude there. We know there were people who were not Israelites that were there when they came out of Egypt. We know that all of them, by the way, that came out of Egypt were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Why? Because they kept the commandments. If they didn't keep the commandments, their firstborn would have been killed. So they grafted themselves into the children of Israel. And I heard the most idiotic thing today in the room. I heard people saying that the mixed multitude were outside the camp, that they were not grafted in within the 12 tribes of Israel. That makes no sense to me. Yahweh is not a respected person. If anybody believes, you graft yourself into the camp. You are part of the 12 tribes of Israel. That is exactly what Paul is trying to tell us in Romans chapter 10, chapter 11, and chapter 12. What he's trying to tell us in Ephesians chapter 2. I wonder if people even read the Bible. It's really amazing. In Deuteronomy chapter 29. Verses 9 through 15. Let's find out to whom is the covenant and who is them. It says, "Keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them. Emphasize the word do, and do them that you may prosper. So you're only going to prosper if you do the commandments of Yahweh in all that you do. Yet ye stand this day, if you, all of you before Yahweh your Elohim, your captains, your tribes, your elders, and all your officers with all the men of Israel. You little ones, your wives, and thy strangers that is in thy camp. Remember, the word stranger is ger. Okay? And from the hearer of the word unto the drawer of the water. That you shall enter into a covenant with Yahweh your Elohim, into his oath, which Yahweh your Elohim maketh with you this day. That he may establish you, Israel, today for a people unto himself. That he may be unto you Elohim, as he has said unto you, as he has sworn unto your fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Verse 14 and 15, very significant. It says, neither with you only do I make this covenant and this oath, but with him that standeth here with us this day before Yahweh Elohim, and also with him that is not here with us this day. So therefore, it's telling us that whoever was not there that day, if you come into covenant with Yahweh the Father through Yeshua the Son, the High Priest, then you are as if you were in Mount Sinai that day. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Are you with me? Isn't that exactly what Paul tried to say in Corinthians? In Corinthians chapter 10 tells you that. In Corinthians chapter 10, I'm going to find it here real quick because I don't have it posted in my teaching. But in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he quotes, Paul is trying to teach about Israel. Listen to what he said. He said, Moreover, brethren, I would not that you be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Did Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob pass through the sea and the cloud? No. It says, verse 2, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and the Red Sea, and did all eat of the spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, and they drank, for what the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Messiah. And it says, that with many of them Elohim was not well pleased, for they were overthrown into the wilderness. Now these things were our examples to intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. What did they do in the wilderness? They committed idolatry. Verse 7, neither ye be idolaters as were some of them. Who were them? The mixed multitude, the Arab rod, who worshipped the golden calf. 3,000 people. All along the 40 years, there was always a problem with idolatry. As it is written, the people sat down and eat and drink and rose up and play. The Hebrew word there, when you go back to the original context, is orgies. It says, verse 8, neither let us commit fornication, which some of them committed, and fell in one day 320,000. Now that's another event that happened in Numbers 25, verse 1. So Paul is trying to teach us here that we should all, exactly what Deuteronomy chapter 29 tells us, that we all went under the cloud. You see, Yahweh says through Moses, not only with them that was there that day does he make a covenant, but also with those that are not there that day. In other words, anybody who accepted Yeshua as their personal Savior or Redeemer, for that matter, you have come into a covenant. Why? Because the word homologeo, in the Greek, one of the definitions is covenant. So you have entered into a covenant of marriage. And then the pastor is teaching you to break it the next Sunday by going on Sunday and saying that Sunday was the day that Yahweh picked. Okay? So now, what is the love of God? The word Ahav or Ahava. And we have Nomad in the room, and I'm sure Nomad can really go on with this, but I'm going to do my best. He's the expert on Paleo-Hebrew. So if you want to learn Paleo-Hebrew, please go to Nomad Man. He's an outstanding, really nice guy and a very good teacher, and I want to learn from him also. The word love in Paleo-Hebrew, according to Sikkins, okay, it says the word Ahav has, which means love, has a word picture, and it means to reveal the Father. So if you really, truly love your brother, you are going to teach him about the heart of Yahweh. The heart of Yahweh is the Torah. The Torah is the heart of Yahweh. The first letter of the Torah in Hebrew is what? Is the Bet. And the Bet means like a house. The last letter of the book of Deuteronomy is Lamed. And it means like a shepherd's staff, right? You put the letter lamed, and bet in Hebrew makes a Hebrew word. The word is lev, and the word lev means heart. So the five books of Moses is the heart of the Father. So every time a Christian says that the Torah is no longer for us, what they are in fact saying is that the heart of Yahweh is no longer relevant for them. So you see, the real understanding of love is to reveal the Father, and that is exactly what the Messiah Yeshua did. He came to reveal the love of the Father towards His children Israel, which have gone after other gods. Amen? All right. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 3. Guys, please limit the writing on the text right now so I could post my verses. I really would appreciate it. Leviticus 26, verse 3 says, "If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them." If you do a research in the Bible, you're going to find the word walk, keep, and do. It's never changing. Walk, keep, and do. It's always acting upon your belief. You have to shema. You have to be at a point of attention to get the instructions and to act upon it. Okay, the Hebraic way of obedience, okay, of faith, is acting upon your faith. And James tells us that, and we're going to do it later. The word for faith, emunah, the word for faith means to establish. Okay, so if you have faith, you would establish the word of Yahweh. Trustworthiness, faithful or truth. So you can tell me you're walking in faith and you refuse to obey the commandments. Because walking in the commandments for obedience is demonstrating your faith. Nachon, are you with me? Is this making sense to you? See, I mean, walking in faith, Hebraically means walking in the commandments, showing your true love. Okay? What about the word keep in Hebrew? The word keep in Hebrew means shamar. Okay? Shin, mem, resh. The word shamar means properly to hedge, about with thorn, to guard, generally to protect, attend, beware, be circumspect, to take heed. Huh? Preserve, regard, reserve, saved. So are we keeping the commandments? Are we guarding the commandments? No, we love Jesus, but we refuse to obey the commandments of the Messiah. That is hypocritical. And you know what? Yahweh never allowed Israel to continue in a covenant without consequences of disobedience. So what makes you think that Yahweh would allow the Christian church to live life without consequences? If He didn't do it for His own people Israel, you think He's going to do it for a people who are calling themselves redeemed, but yet are not grafting themselves into the commonwealth of Israel? It's like a friend saying, "Hey, I want Social Security, but I've never worked in the United States. Or I want welfare, but I've never been in the United States. Or I want the blessings of the freedom of the United States, but I don't want to live in the United States." Now, I don't know about you, but none of you will put up with that. Somebody wants all the benefits of your country, but yet they refuse to obey the commandments of your country. So let me get this straight. You will not put up with that in the human sense, but you will do that with the commandment of Yahweh. "Oh, I want all the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but I refuse to obey the commandments that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob kept. I want the blessings of the children of Israel in the wilderness." How can somebody quote me Deuteronomy 28? And preach prosperity out of that? They don't keep reading past verse 2. What happens if you disobey it in verse 15? There are more curses than blessings in Deuteronomy 28. It is really crazy. Okay? So anyway, how about the word do? The word do in Hebrew is the word asah. Ein, shin, hey. And the word asah, if I could post all these, you're going to see how big this is. And do a research on this stuff. It's really interesting. When you do research on all this stuff, well, you can see that. No, it's too many verbs, too many words. But watch this. The primitive root, to do, to make. In the broadest sense and the widest application, accomplish, advance, appoint, become, bear, bestow, bring forth, bruise, to be busy, certainly have the charge, commit, deal. I mean, you get all these definitions of what the word do is. Never passive, it's always active. Okay? Are you guys with me? Are you guys enjoying this? Are you with me? Alright, now, watch this. The word walk, yalach, yod, lamed. chet. Okay, it means from the Strong's 03212. The word is yalach from the Strong's Concordant. Okay, there we go. Listen, you don't have to agree with me. You don't even have to like me, but we're going to post the words of Yahweh. Simple as that. Okay? We're going to post it and see what it says. The word to walk in the Bible means this. To walk, literally or figuratively, causatively, to carry. Again, away, bear, bring, carry, away, come away, depart, flow, following, get, hence, you know, grow, lead, forth, let down, march, prosper, pursue, cause to run, spread, take away, walking. Okay, so let's go to Leviticus chapter 26, verse 14 and 15. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 14 and 15. Watch this. But if you will not hearken unto me, I will not do all these commandments. And if you shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhorred my judgments, so that you will not do all my commandments, but that ye break my covenant. Now, you do the reading after that and go back and finish chapter 26 and see what's going to happen to you. One of those things that happened was that there will be 7 years for every year. I mean, there will be 1 year for every 7 years that the children of Israel that would not keep the Shemitah year, the resting of the land. And here we see that Israel, Judah, went to Babylon for 70 years. You know why? Because for 490 years, they did not keep the Shemitah year. They didn't follow the Sabbath of Yahweh. Okay? The children of Israel, Leviticus 27, verse 34. Leviticus 27, verse 34 says this. These are the commandments which Yahweh commanded Moses for the children of Israel in Mount Sinai. Are you getting this? Okay, now, this is very significant, because if you don't see yourself as Israel, then this commandment is not for you. And this is the problem that we're having with a lot of the Christian brothers. They're basically saying, we want the redemption, we want the kingdom, we want the blessings, we want to be sealed with the Ruach HaKodesh, with the Holy Spirit, but we refuse to obey the commandments. But you see, the condition is that the commandment is for the children of Israel in Mount Sinai. If you don't consider yourself Israel, I got news for you. There's not a gate for the heathen. There's not a gate for the Gentile. There's not a gate in the kingdom. There's all the gates are 12 gates, and they're all for the 12 tribes of Israel. Okay? Exodus chapter 12, verse 37 and 38. Were they all Israelites and Hebrews when they came out of Egypt? It says, and the people of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Sukkot, about 600,000 men on foot, besides women and children, and a mixed multitude also went up with them, and every man cattle, flocks, and herds. So therefore, they were not all just Gentiles, Hebrews. They were also Gentiles who did what? Kept the Passover in Egypt. Otherwise, they wouldn't have left. They have to be part of, they grafted themselves. In order for the mixed multitude to be saved from the judgment, they have to do two things. First of all, they either have to slay a lamb and believe in the blood of the lamb in their own home, or graft themselves into one of the homes of the Hebrews and believe by faith in their God so they can be redeemed out of Egypt. So now, therefore, is there a law for the Gentile and a law for the Jew or the Israelite? According to Judaism, yes, there is. And according to the Christians, yes, there is. We are the only crazy people on Pal Talk trying to encourage people to come back to the Torah. Okay? We're only going to quote verses. Now, in Exodus chapter 12, verse 49 says, there shall be one Torah for the native and for the stranger who sojourns among you. The word stranger means ger. And a ger is somebody who is following the commandments, somebody who's walking in obedience. All he needs is the circumcision, and then he will be considered as one of the natives. Verse 49 says that. That is one, okay? One Torah. It doesn't say one Torah for the Gentile and one Torah for the native born. What Numbers chapter 9, verse 14 says? Numbers chapter 9, verse 14 says, and if a stranger sojourns among you, and will keep the Passover to Yahweh according to the statute of the Passover and according to its ordinance, so shall he do. See? What did he have to do? He had to be circumcised in order to keep the Passover. That was the only requirement. But you see, if he is among them, then he has to keep it. You shall have one statue, both for the sojourner and for the native. So he never said you can't keep it. He says you got to do it my way. That's it. Because circumcision is a sign of a covenant. We've been redeemed. How about being part of the covenant, okay? As a sign. Remember, we're talking about obedience, not redemption, not salvation. Are you with me? Are you with me? All right. Numbers chapter 15, verse 13 through 16. Okay? And all who are natives shall do these things in this way. Listen to this. If an offering by fire, a pleasing odor to Yahweh, and if a stranger is sojourning with you, or anyone who is among you throughout your generations, and he wishes to offer an offering by fire, a pleasing odor to Yahweh, he shall do as you do. There we go. This is opening a can of worms here. Because you see, Christianity has a habit of doing whatever they want to do in the way they want to do it, whenever they want to do it. And that's not what Torah says. If you are grafted by faith, by the blood of Messiah, you have to submit to the commandments of the Commonwealth of Israel, and you do the things Israel does according to the Torah. This is not the gospel according to Christians. This is the gospel according to how Messiah kept it. Verse 15 says, for the assembly, there shall be one statue for you and for the stranger who sojourns with you. But the word assembly there can be traced back to the word ecclesia in the New Testament, which means church, which better is the better translation is congregation. Okay, it's the same word. It says, and for you and for the stranger who sojourns with you, a perpetual statue throughout your generations. As you are, so shall the sojourn be before Yahweh. One Torah and one ordinance shall be for you and for the stranger who sojourns with you. You know what they'll tell you? They'll look away to justify this verse by saying, oh, we don't have a temple, so we don't have to do that anymore. I got news for you. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Either you're a Jew or either you're a Christian. And if you're a Christian and your temple is defiled and your temple is not acceptable to Yahweh, guess what? The presence of the living Elohim cannot dwell within you. Only in an acceptable, kosher temple can Yahweh Shekinah dwell in. So if you're not walking according to the commandment, in obedience, you are not kosher. You are not clean. You are not, and don't tell me that the Spirit of the Lord told you, because the Spirit of the Lord spoke through the prophets. And all the prophets had one thing in common. They kept Torah, except for Balaam. But all the ones in the prophets that Yahweh used, they all kept Torah. And a lot of them were priests. So they were what? They were kosher. In other words, they were clean. They were tahor. Okay? They were tahor. They were clean. They were ritually clean. So don't tell me that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit and you are eating swine anytime and eating your pork sandwiches and doing all this stuff, because legally, according to the Torah, it doesn't stand. It doesn't go that way. Okay? In Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says, but if you confess with your lips that Yeshua is Yahweh, Messiah, Adonai, okay, and believe in your heart that Elohim raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Okay? Says homologeo. The word homologeo is covenant. The word homologeo there is covenant. The word homologeo there is covenant. Amen? So all of you that have accepted Messiah, then you are going to be in covenant. And guess what? You're in covenant of marriage. Now, let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 29. I already read you this. The covenant was with Israel and with those who were not standing there today, so I don't need to repeat that. But let me quote this real quick. It says that in verse 13 of chapter 29 of Deuteronomy, let me remind you, that we may establish you as a people unto himself, and that he may be unto you Elohim. And he has said unto you, and has said unto, sworn unto your fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Neither with you do I make this covenant and this oath, but with him that standeth here with us this day before Yahweh Elohim, and also with him that is not here with us this day. So you see, if you saying that you believe in Yeshua and you confess him as the Messiah, then you have to be grafted into the tree which is Israel, and you are part of the commonwealth of Israel, and that means that you have to follow Torah for obedience. Obedience and instructions. And I don't really don't know what's the problem with this. Anybody who comes into this country and basically, you know, becomes a citizen of the United States of America. I can speak because I'm from Puerto Rico, and even though I'm a U.S. citizen, well, as soon as I come into the United States, I have to submit to the commandments and the statutes and the laws of this country. Okay, if I follow the laws of this country and I just don't do any headway, I'm going to have complete freedom, supposedly. But anyway, you know what I mean, for the sake of argument. So what's interesting here is, don't tell me that you want to be free from sin, but yet walking sin. Because when you walk away from the commandments, you are in fact committing sin. Because according to 1 John 3:4, sin is lawlessness, is a transgression of the Torah. How hard can this be? I don't understand it. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm sorry, no, let's move on. I already read you this. The covenant in Mount Sinai, Exodus 19, verses 5 through 8. Watch this. Is this? And for Exodus 19, verse 5, 6, and 8 says this. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice, listen to the language, if you will obey my voice and keep my covenant. Okay? This is very significant. I want you to notice the language. It's very simple. It tells you this. Therefore, if you will obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my own possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine. Let me ask you guys a question. Listen to what it says slowly. It says, therefore, if you will obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my own possession among all the peoples. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. So let me ask you guys a question, those that are listening to me. If you do not obey the voice, and do you not keep the covenant, are you a possession unto Yahweh? Because you see, you have to take that verse both ways. See, if you are obeying, and if you keep the commandments, then guess what? You are a people, and then you are a kingdom of priests. So any Christian who tells me that the law is done away with, guess what? Then you are not in covenant. Then the gospel is not for you. Because the gospel is for the Israelites, and any Gentile who believes have to graft themselves into Israel. It's very simple, and I don't want to talk about this because it takes me too long. Okay, I got to move on to the next verse here. Now, verse 8 of chapter 19 of Exodus, verse 8 says this. Listen to the answer of the people of Israel. They said, and all the people answered together and said, all that Yahweh has spoken, we will just believe. Does it say there believe? Or does it say, here we go. So therefore now, if you obey and if you keep, then the people said, we will do. So basically, I could just preach a whole sermon on this thing. I could teach it on this thing. If you do not do, then are you a nation unto Yahweh? Are you a holy priesthood? And this is what people don't understand. Because in the first century, the issue between Yeshua and the Pharisees was between the oral law, commandments of men, and the written Torah. And the issue with Paul was between the oral law and the written Torah. Yeshua's trying to take him back to the Torah. Paul is trying to take him back to the Torah, making a distinction between the words of men versus the words of Yahweh. Obedience is part of the covenant, folks. There's no ways around it. And let's look at this in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. I hope you're enjoying this teaching. Listen, don't believe anything I say. Just verify it all. Because what if we're doing something wrong because we refuse to read what Yahweh says and we're listening to people interpret Scripture? Why don't we let Him, the Father of the universe, the Creator of the universe, tell us what to do? Watch this. as we read this. In Deuteronomy chapter 28 says, And if you obey the voice of Yahweh your Elohim, being careful to do, okay, all His commandments which I command you this day, Yahweh your Elohim will set you high above all the nations of the earth. What is the condition to put you high above all the nations of the earth? If they obey the voice of Yahweh and carefully do all His commandments. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of Yahweh your Elohim. Are you with me? Now I want somebody to quote the verses for me, please. That way you can all see it. There's three ways of learning. You can hear it, you can listen to it, or you can see it. And I want you guys to see it. Let's read it again. If you obey the voice of Yahweh your Elohim, being careful to do all His commandments, which I command you this day, Yahweh your Elohim will set you higher above all the nations of the earth. So isn't that a condition? Isn't that those blessings conditional based on your obedience? See, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of Yahweh your Elohim. I mean, I don't know if you're getting it already, but I don't see anywhere in Scripture that says that I'm going to be blessed just because I believe. When in fact, the Hebraic way of belief is acting upon your faith. I know some of you already heard this already, but we have to, listen, I'm doing this teaching to share some of the people that are here that maybe don't have the time to study as much as I'm able to, okay, because basically this is what I do full time. To hopefully take this teaching, I'll send you the notes. Okay? And you take this teaching and then you have the proof biblically to refute anybody. Listen, if they're going to disagree with you, they're not disagreeing with you. They are disagreeing with the words of Yahweh. And when somebody has the gall to disagree with the words of Yahweh and try to interpret what He says, when then we say that He cannot change, ooh, we got problems. I'd rather submit to what it says. And even if I don't understand it, I just keep walking until I become knowledgeable to understand what He says. I want to obey like a little child. Here we go. To hear and do. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 27. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 27 says, go near and hear all that Yahweh our Elohim will say. And speak to us all that Yahweh our Elohim will speak to you. And we will hear. And that's it. Doesn't say that, does it? We will hear and do. Hear and do. Shema. Hear and obey. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 10. Listen, some of you who are probably saying, oh, that is the Old Testament. That is the Old Testament. That's done away with Christ on the cross. Some of you will say that. And that's basically not understanding anything the New Testament is telling you about. Okay? Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 10 says this. By the way, I'll remind you. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, 1 through all the way to 20, Paul used Romans chapter 10, verses 3 all the way to verse 10 to teach you about the confession of faith. Okay? So if you do not believe me, then you can quote me Romans chapter 10. Because Paul was using a midrash to teach you about how you can be part of Israel and how you can be redeemed and how you can come into the covenant by confessing Yeshua, and he is using Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 10 through 20. So if you say that this is the Old Testament, we don't need it, there goes your salvation or redemption in chapter 10. There goes you being grafted in chapter 11. So guess what? Don't worry about it. Then you don't have to worry about being redeemed. Okay? Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 10 says, if you obey the voice of Yahweh your Elohim to keep His commands and His Torah, which are written in the book of the Torah, if you turn back to Yahweh your Elohim with all your heart and with all your being, for this commandment which I command you today, it is not too hard for you, nor it is afar off. So watch this. You have to obey, you have to keep, and then you have to turn. What does the word turn mean? Teshuv or shuv, shin, vav, bet. And the word shuv in the Strong Dictionary 7725, means this, literally or figuratively, to return to the starting point, generally to retreat, often to come back again, to build, okay, circumcise, do anything, do evil, feed, I'm leading you. To return or reverse, let me ask you a question, guys. If you've never been in covenant before, some of you that consider yourself Gentiles, if you've never been in covenant with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, how can you return to a place that you have never been in the first place? You can't reverse back. Reverse from back. From what? You can't. How can you be reconciled if you've never had a covenant with that person or a relationship in the first place? You only reconcile if you have a relationship. And you can only return if you had a relationship or if you had a point of parting or a point of reference. So we all have to come back to the Hebrew. What does the word in Paleo-Hebrew, teshuv, return, basically means? It means to destroy the house or leave nothing behind. So if you truly repent, you will keep the feast of Yahweh. You will keep the Sabbath. You will keep kosher and you will keep the Torah. According to Torah, and I'll challenge anybody to prove me wrong, because I'm quoting you the verses, a true repentant heart comes back to obey the Torah after you've been redeemed from sin. If you do not obey the commandments, you are in gross idolatry and you are setting yourself up for the curses of Deuteronomy 28. Numbers chapter 15, verse 39. I want you to notice the language. Okay, check this out. I want you to notice the language. It says, and it shall be unto you for a fringe, talking about the tzitzits, that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of Yahweh and do them. And that ye shall seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you used to go a whoring. The tzitzit is a reminder, so I'll always do the commandment of Yahweh, do the right thing. Numbers 15, verse 40 says this, that you may remember to do all my commandments and be holy unto Elohim. Oh, wait a second. Now the expression holiness come into play. Read that verse correctly. It says that you may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto Yahweh. So the expression holy is in reference to what? Doing the commandments. Do you see what I see? You may not have to agree with me, but if you're not agreeing with me, you're not agreeing with the word of Yahweh. I'm making the connections. If you do not obey, according to Yahweh, you're not holy. Because you see, to do the commandments is being set apart to Elohim. Only one of you agree with me. I'm glad only one of you agree with me. Hallelujah. Numbers 15, verse, I'm sorry, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2. It says this, you should not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish off from it, that you may keep the commandment of Yahweh your Elohim, which I command you. So let me ask you a question. You should not add or take away from the commandment, right? So if you keep Easter, is that adding to the commandment? How about Christmas? Is that adding to the commandment? How about Sunday? Is that adding to the commandment? Right? So right then and there, they just say, hey, we believe in 10 commandments minus one. We don't want to keep the Sabbath. The system is hypocritical. And I'm sorry, I don't mean to be judgmental, but I'm tired of the debating in the rooms. And you know what? And sometimes when you try to stand up for the Torah, they read you. They red dot you. They don't let you really expound on it. They don't want to believe Yahweh. They want to see things according to the imagination of their own heart. And you know what the word imagination in Hebrew there really means? Twisting. Twisting God's words. Ooh, that's my only fear, just to twist His words. Leviticus chapter 22, verse 31. Leviticus 22, verse 31 says, therefore shall you keep my commandments and do them, for I am Yahweh. Here you go. The matter is settled. We can pack our bags and we can go home. I can spend the rest of my night spending time with my family because Yahweh has spoken. Therefore you shall keep my commandments and do them. That should be simple enough, right? You will think if we really believe in Messiah, we would do what Yahweh says. No, we have to logically explain everything. We have to have theology, dogma, and we have to make sure that we basically interpret the verse the way we see it. No, that's not really what it says, because to me it says, I got news for you. It's not what we think. This is not a democracy. We by mercy have we been grafted in by grace. By mercy and loving kindness, the Creator of the universe has bestowed upon us the opportunity to come back to the covenant. All we have to do is be humble and submit and say, Hineni Adonai. Hineni, here am I. And just follow what He says. What is so wrong with that? No. We have to understand everything and we have to shape everything according to the way is convenient for us. You know what? I repent. I teshuvah. I, from now on, I want to do what He wants. Tonight is not about Yeshua and who is Yeshua or whether Yeshua is Messiah or not. Let's put Yeshua right now in this place because we know who He is. We don't have to talk about Him. We already clear those in the room, hopefully, know what Messiah is all about. Let's talk about the commandment of Yahweh and obedience. No one talks about that. You can talk about salvation until blue in the face. What are you going to teach them? To break the covenant so they can be cursed again? That makes no sense to me. Here we go. Leviticus 26, verse 3. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them. Walk, keep, do. Walk, keep, do. You got to obey. You got to keep. You have to do. You walk. You keep and you do. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 14. But if you would not hearken unto me, I will not do all these commandments. Now you go on and you keep reading. Verse 14 says this. 15 says, but if you shall despise my statutes. Now watch this, because it's making a connection. That if you don't do the commandments, and if you despise the statutes, and your soul abhorred my judgments, that you will not do all my commandments, but that you break my covenant, I will also do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning ague, and that you should consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart, and you shall sow your seed in vain, and your enemy shall eat it, and I will set my face against you, and you shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and you shall flee when none pursue you, and ye will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you seven times more of your sins, and I will break the pride of your power. I can't wait for the great tribulation. I got to be honest with you. We're going to go through some serious tough times to test our faith. But I'll tell you one thing. I can't wait for the great tribulation. You know why? Because it will really set up the bride to be cleansed. Because you see, if anything, all these people that are saying that the heart of Yahweh is no longer relevant, that the Torah is not for us, that we don't have to follow the commandments, you're asking for judgment. And they don't even know it. You're asking for judgment because Yahweh surrendered judgment for His people, for His bride, for not obeying the covenant. So don't tell me that you want to be part of the covenant and refuse to obey it. Tonight we don't care about whether or not you think Yeshua is the Messiah. We're talking about whether or not you deserve to be redeemed. Do we really deserve to be redeemed when He redeemed us by faith? And then we willfully refuse to obey His commandments, His covenant. That makes no sense to me. Verse 18. And if you will not hearken yet for all this, hearken unto me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sin, and I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven as iron, and your earth as brass, and your strength will be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield her increase, neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruit. But if you walk contrary to me, verse 21, but if you walk contrary to me, and will not hearken unto me, so if you do not hear, then you're walking in contrary to Yahweh. Listen to the language. If you're not obeying, you're not being obedient, you're walking contrary to Him. I will bring seven times more plagues upon you according to your sins. Verse 22. I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children and destroy your cattle and make you few in number, and your highway shall be desolate. By the way, this already happened in the history of Israel. When the Assyrian Empire came and took the Israelites, the lions came around, and they started eating the people. And the children of the Assyrians went out and sent the message to the king of Assyria, said, hey man, send some of the priests out here so they can teach us how to worship the God of the land, because the lions are killing us. So if it happened once, Yahweh cannot change. It'll happen again. Are you guys with me now? Do you understand the premise of the teaching? I mean, so far I'm quoting you, I don't know how many verses, and it's always the same sequence. All right? Now, here we go. Let's move on. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 13. It says, "And he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments, as he wrote them upon tablets, 2 tablets of stone." Wow, listen to this. Now, this is for all the Christians who say they believe in the moral law, but then again, what they do, they say, no, -1. We don't want to do the 10. We don't want to do the 4th one. That was changed on the cross by Christ. Which, yeah, the Messiah is going to come to do away with the commandments that caused him to come in the first place. All right. The reason why Yeshua came was to restore Israel because they have broken the covenant and they were cut off. So now that he comes to restore Israel from breaking the covenant and the Sabbath and the feast and all that stuff, now he's going to accept Christians to come into the covenant and do the same thing that caused Israel to be dispersed. I hope you follow that one. That was a mouthful. But it says this, "And he declared unto you, and his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments, and he wrote them upon 2 tablets of stone," that he commanded you to perform. Perform. In other words, do. Okay? There we go. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 40. Watch this. It says, "Thou shalt keep therefore his statutes, his commandments, and I commanded you, which I commanded you this day, that it may go well with you." Ah, wait a second. It'll go well with us if we do the commandments, if we keep them. Interesting. So I will be blessed if I keep the commandment of Yahweh? Huh? Let me guess. Yes, I will. That's what it says. I hate to be sarcastic today, but let me tell you this. If I have a fault, which I have many, but one of my faults is my zeal for the Torah. I have a zeal for the Messiah. Okay? But Messiah is the living Torah. But I have a zeal for the Torah. I just want people to understand what Yahweh wants, the Father wants, what He requires of us. If we don't understand the Torah, we're never going to understand the true Messiah. You know? All we want to do is do what Yahweh wants. That's what we want. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 10. Watch this. I already read you this, but I'm going to read it again. It says, "And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." So if you love Yahweh, you keep His commandments. Isn't that really what it's saying? So if you don't keep the commandments, you don't love Yahweh. And you're not going to have mercy. Are you guys with me? Does that make sense? I hope some of you that are listening to me really get this because it's very significant. Okay? Hey, watch this. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 29 says this. Now, we're going to introduce another word. Watch this. "Oh, that there were such a heart in them that they will fear me." Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 29. "That they will fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it may be well with them and with their children forever." Le'olam. Now, hey, that verse is very significant. Let me read it again because I get all pumped, man. I love the Torah. Oh, man, I love the Torah. Listen to this. "Oh, that there were such a heart in them." I want that heart. It says, "that they may fear me." So they're making a connection between fear of Yahweh, reverence, and keeping all the commandments always. "That it may go be well with you and with their children forever." Okay? The Hebrew word there for fear me is Yareh, Yod, Resh, Aleph. And it means, from the strong 03372, means this, to fear morally, to revere. Okay? To revere. In other words, to be reverence unto the word of Yahweh. So if you do not have fear unto Yahweh, guess what? You're not loving Him. And it's not going to go well with your children. That's what the verse says. Are you with me? Okay, so why do you need to read that guy? There we go. So now, look at this. It's amazing. Alright, here we go. So let's continue. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 31. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 31 says, "But as for you, stand thou here by me, and I will speak unto you all the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which thou shalt teach them, that they may do them in the land which I'm giving them to possess. So the condition of possessing the land is going to be that you're going to do the commandments. So let me ask you a question. If we are redeemed by the blood of Mashiach, right? And we are grafted into Israel. And we are hoping to go into the promised land, into the kingdom. That means that we're going to do the commandments in the kingdoms. Nachon? Yes? So why don't we do them now? What's the problem? Isn't he getting his kingdom ready? So what makes you think you're going to do them in the kingdom if you don't do them now? Oh, it's called the Great Tribulation. Either you do it willingly, or you will do willfully when you get into the kingdom. Here we go. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1 says, "Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which Yahweh your Elohim commanded to teach you." Now, who gave these commandments? Was it Moses, or was it Yahweh? "That ye may do them. Ye may do them in the land which you go to possess." Now let me ask you a question. Were the children of Israel obeying the commandments as they were going through the wilderness? Or they were just breaking the commandments and then they did them when they were in the promised land? They were walking and learning the commandments as they were walking in the wilderness. Did they make mistakes? Absolutely. Did they rebel? Absolutely. Did they get punished for it? Absolutely. Isn't that exactly what's happening right now? Didn't Paul in Romans, 1 Corinthians 10 tells us that everything that happened to the children and the children of Israel in the wilderness is as for our example? Listen, don't make your distinctions between the Old Testament and the New. According to the Bible, there's no distinction. It's either one book or no book at all. And this is the reason why the Jews don't even want to talk to Christians and they don't respect them. Because you're telling the Jews that the Tanakh, what you consider the Old Testament, is no longer relevant. When that was given on Mount Sinai by the eternal Elohim, Father of the universe. That's amazing. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 17 says this. "You shall keep the commandments of Yahweh your Elohim and his testimonies, his statutes, and which he hath commanded you." So you shall diligently keep. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 25. "And it shall be our righteousness." Wow, now this is really cool. It says, "And it shall be our righteousness," watch this, "if we observe to do all these commandments before Yahweh our Elohim, as he has commanded us." Oh, wait a second. Righteousness now is coming up. So we are holy if we keep the commandment. We are a people unto himself and a nation of priests if we obey the commandments. And now we are righteous if we keep the commandments. Now, for obedience, not for salvation. If you try to keep the commandments for salvation, then no, that's not going to work. But if you're keeping it to obey him because you love him, yes, you'll be righteous now. Did that make sense now? Okay? Now, here we go. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. Man, I got like 17 more pages to give you guys. Stay with me. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9 says, "Know therefore that Yahweh your Elohim," he is Elohim, "the faithful Elohim, which keepeth covenant with mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." I already spoke about this, and he's mentioning it again in the book of Deuteronomy. He's telling you that if you love Yahweh, you have to keep the commandments for obedience. If you don't love Yahweh, guess what? You're not keeping the commandments. There we go. It says, in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 11 says, "Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments." Does it say there, no, let's talk about it because I live under grace and not under the law. Does it say that? No. It says, "Thou shalt, you shall keep the commandments of Yahweh and the statutes and the judgments which I commanded you this day to do them." To do them. Do them. I'm being bad tonight, huh? I'll tell you what. You know, the book of Deuteronomy chapter 4 says that the Torah is my wisdom among all the nations. And that is the name of the ministry. Because 10 years ago, when I saw that verse, I said, this is my whole goal in life. To love Yahweh and His Torah. choose for yourself whom you're going to worship and serve. But as for me and my house, I will serve Yahweh and I will follow His commandments, not because it's burdensome to me, but because I love Him and I delight to do His word. And do I do it perfectly? No. I'm learning as I go. I'm learning the process of obedience. But at least I'm willing to walk in it. I'm willing to walk in that obedience, even though I'm still learning. And I still don't know my way around like I want to. Guess what? The children of Israel did it for 40 years. For 40 years, the children of Israel did that. They learned how to walk in the commandments. Did they make mistakes? Absolutely. Amen? All right, here we go. Where was I? Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 25. He says, and it shall be our righteousness if we observe all the commandments before Yahweh Elohim. I think I read these already, didn't I? I read these already. Let me move on. Here we go. What is the penalty for not obeying the commandment? Deuteronomy 28, verse 15. Watch this. But it shall come to pass, if you would not hearken unto the voice of Yahweh Elohim. Shirach, you're going to have to scroll down a little bit to find this one. Okay, the curse for not obeying the commandment. It says, but it shall come to pass, if you will not hearken to the voice of Yahweh Elohim. And Rocky 23 says, dude, you're fighting against the word of Yahweh. That's funny. Why don't you sit back and listen to the words of Yahweh, okay? Because no matter how you put it, you're going to lose this argument. Because He's telling you, not me. It's His word. There we go. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of Yahweh your Elohim, to observe to do all His commandments and His statutes, which I command you this day, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Okay? And it says, Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 45, says this, moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and shall pursue you and overtake you till you be destroyed, because you hearken not unto the voice of Yahweh your Elohim to keep His commandments and His statutes which He commanded you. Rocky 23, I got news for you. I don't know if you're still here, but if you are here, this is verses for you. If you choose not to listen to the voice of Yahweh, then get ready, because curses will come upon you. Because you came into a covenant of marriage. Okay, and I'm not saying that the Bible's there, and I don't mean to put curses on you. Argue with Him. He's the one saying it, not me. All right, now here we go. Let's continue. Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. What was the commandment as soon as Israel came over the promised land? Okay, it says this. It says, Joshua chapter 5, verse 8, verse 5 through 8 says this. Therefore shall not any man be able to stand before you in all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. This is Yahweh speaking to Joshua, Yehoshua. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swore unto their fathers to give them. Verse 7. Only thou be strong and very courageous, and thou mayest observe to do according to all this Torah, which Moses my servant commanded you. Turn not from it to the right nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the Torah shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Then thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, And then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. So you can only have good success if you obey the commandments. Now let me ask you a question. Can we possibly keep all the commandments of Yahweh right now? No. Why? Because there is no temple. We're not living in Israel. There is no Sanhedrin council. There is no high priest. I'm not a woman. I don't own land in Israel. I'm not a king. You see what I'm saying? So therefore, now, Jesus is my Savior. Instead of stating your belief, why don't you find what the Bible says you should believe? How about that? Okay? See, this is the problem. Everybody wants to defend what they believe, but they don't listen to what the requirements of belief are in the Bible. What does Joshua 22, verse 20, verse 5 says? Joshua 22, verse 5 says, but take diligently heed to do the commandments of the Torah, which Moses, the servant of Yahweh, charged you, to love Yahweh Elohim and to walk in all His ways and to keep His commandments and to cleave unto Him and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul. So there we go. So to love Yahweh, you have to walk in His ways, keep His commandments, cleave unto Him, and serve Him. Is this clear to you guys that actually have ears to listen? Those who come in the room, listen, the Torah reveals the heart of the person. If the person is stubborn, if the person is prideful, if the person wants to willfully disobey, as soon as I begin to talk about Torah, always somebody gets up and speaks against it. Whoa, I got news for you. The Bible in the book of Proverbs says this: anyone who turns their ear from hearing the Torah, even their prayer is an abomination. Anyone who turns their ear from hearing the Torah, even their prayer is an abomination. Proverbs 28, verse 9. So let me tell you what this means. If you are preaching, teaching, or saying that you no longer have to follow the Torah as a point of obedience, then guess what? From that point that you reject the Torah, from that point that you willfully turn against the commandment of Yahweh, your prayer is an abomination before Yahweh. That's what it means. So good luck. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 3. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 3. I want you to listen to the language. It says, and keep the charge of Yahweh your Elohim, to walk in His ways, to keep His statutes and His commandments and His judgments and His testimonies, as it is written in the Torah of Moshe, that you may prosper in all that you do, whithersoever you turn yourself. In other words, if you obey the Torah, you will be blessed. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 14 says, but if you will walk in my ways and keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David did walk, then I will lengthen your days. So the key word of that verse is walk. Walking in the commandment. That is faith. Walking in the commandment is faith. I don't know if you knew that, but walking in the commandment is faith. Now, how many verses have I given you already tonight? A whole bunch. I got a whole bunch more. So wait, because then I'm going to finish with what the New Testament says. The Brit Hadashah is in agreement with this, by the way. Now, if you're going to quote me with the book of Galatians, consider this before you quote Galatians. Who was the audience in Galatians? What was the problem? And what was the question? If you can answer those three questions, if you're a Christian in the room listening, I'm not judging you, but if you don't know who the audience in Galatians was, you don't know what the problem was, and you don't know what the question was, you have no business quoting the book of Galatians. Study that, and then you can quote me the book of Galatians. Okay? Because let me give you a hint. The audience in the book of Galatians, let me give you a hint. The answer to the audience is found in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. In verse 2. The audience was the dispersed of Israel. Now you know who the audience is. What was the problem? Let me give you another hint. The problem is found in chapter 1 of Galatians and chapter 13 through 20 of Acts, specifically chapter 15 and chapter 21. There you go. I'll give you the answer. 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 12. Says, concerning this house which thou art building, talking about to Solomon now, okay? If thou wilt walk in my statutes and execute my judgments and keep all my commandments to walk in them, then I will perform the word with you in which I spoke unto David your father. So therefore, what caused the temple to be destroyed? Wasn't it breaking the commandments and worshiping other gods? Wasn't it the temple destroyed because Solomon worshiped other gods, the gods of his wives? So let me get this straight. The condition of having the temple in Jerusalem is that they will walk upon the commandments because the presence of Yahweh cannot dwell in a defiled temple. Would you agree with me on that? Okay, I'm going to ask you guys in the room, keep the text to a minimum. Okay? Please, I want you to pay attention to what I'm asking you. If not, I'm going to read that to everybody. Okay? Because this is a very important teaching to all the people who study Hebrew Roots here tonight. This is important teaching to you. Because you're hitting your head against the wall, trying to show the people in the other rooms that Torah is for us. Listen, you know what? Talk is cheap. Show them through the word of Yahweh. And then let them drive themselves crazy if they want to do it or not. I guarantee you that after I'm done here, there's going to be a whole bunch of people going to other rooms trying to talk about me because they think that I'm a Judaizer. They're not listening. Because whoever's speaking tonight is Yahweh's words. Not me. There we go. So let's go to 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 58, I'm sorry. It says, that he may incline our hearts unto him to walk in all your ways. So, if you're walking in all his ways and keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, which he commanded our fathers, then that means that you are inclining your heart to Yahweh. So, if you're not walking in the commandments, you're not inclining unto the Lord. Your heart is not for righteousness, and your heart is not for obedience. 1 Kings 8:61 says, let your heart therefore be perfect with Yahweh our Elohim. Oh, wait a minute. Now it's talking about perfect. Ooh, interesting. Let your heart therefore be perfect with Yahweh our Elohim, to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments as at this day. So in order for you to be called in the biblical perspective of perfection, which means separation or holiness, you have to keep, you have to obey, you have to walk in the commandments. Do you see this? Are you with me? Do you understand it? Are you following me? Okay? Because if you're not getting it, we got to start from scratch. Okay? There we go. So let's go. 2 Kings. Now let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 7. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 7 says this. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever. If he, watch this, if he be constant to do my commandments, my judgments as this day. So, the condition to keep the covenant intact, to keep the kingdom forever, established forever, which was the promise that was given to Solomon, was that if he obey the covenant, then his kingdom will be established forever. So let me ask you guys a question. If Yeshua came to establish a kingdom, to then allow you to disobey the commandments, would that kingdom be established forever? No, right? Because the condition for the kingdom to be established forever is obedience to the commandments. Man, I hope you're getting this. I mean, I when I began to do this week, it was like, wow, I finally understand it even better. It's provoked me to become a better son unto my king, unto my father. I want to do what is pleasing unto him. Listen, I no longer care what men say. If you don't agree with me and you don't understand where I'm coming from, listen, tough. That is your problem. You know, go back and read the Bible for yourself then. You know, how dare we try to reinterpret what Yahweh says and try to understand it according to our own way. When are we going to have true faith and walk in it? And let him reveal it to us as we go. Here we go. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 7 says this. We have dealt very corruptly against you, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou commanded your servant Moses. So now he's calling you corrupt. You are corrupt if you do not keep the commandments. So far, we are holy if we keep the commandments. We are a kingdom of priests if we keep the commandments. His kingdom will be established forever if we keep the commandments. We are perfect if we keep the commandments. There's so many things that we need to do, and I'm hoping that you are getting this because it's very important. What does the word corruptly there mean? In Hebrew, chava, chet, bet, lamed. From the Strong 02254 says, to wind tightly as a rope, to bind, specifically be a pledge, to pervert, to destroy. Isn't that interesting? So if you are not keeping the commandments, you are destroying, you are offending. You are, listen, you better take this to heart. It's heavy duty stuff. Nehemiah chapter 1 verse 9 says, but if you turn unto me, and keep my commandments and do them. Turn, teshuvah, return. Keep, shamar, okay, to guard. And do them, asa, okay, to act upon them. Thou there whereof you cast out unto the uttermost parts of the heaven. Yet I will gather you. Now, it's talking to the dispersion. Yet I will gather them from hence and bring them into the place that I have chosen to set my name there. So, watch this. The condition to be in the kingdom. Listen to this. The condition, I hope you got it. The condition to be in the kingdom is to return to Yahweh, to repent. To keep the commandments and to do them. Then He will bring us back into the covenant. He will bring us into the land. Okay? And that's a good verse in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. It says, Thus saith Adonai, Yahweh, stand ye in the ways, and see and ask for the old path. Where is the good way? And walk therein. And ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Wow. How prophetic is that in Jeremiah? Isn't that exactly what the Christians are saying? We don't want to walk in it, the old path. We don't want to come back to the Sabbath, or the feast, or the Torah. How prophetic. You know what? I want to stand and I want to go follow the old path. So I repent. I repent, O Yahweh, from the bottom of my heart. Okay, here we go. So now let's continue. In Nehemiah, in Psalms 103, verse 17, it says this, But the mercy of Yahweh is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto the children of Israel. Okay? The fear is to keep the righteousness, and we established earlier in the verses that if you follow the commandments, you're called righteous. Okay? It says, verse 18 says this, To such as keep His covenant, to those that remember His covenants, to do them. Here we go. So, you see, let me read it again. But the mercy of Yahweh is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children. So if you fear Yahweh, to such as keep His covenant, and to those who remember the covenant, the commandments to do so. Psalms 111 verse 10 says this, The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do. Oh man, that's a good one. That's Psalms 111 verse 10 says, The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments, His praise endure forever. Amen. So therefore, if you're not keeping the commandments, you don't have wisdom, according to the Bible. Does this make sense to you? I mean, that's what it says. I'm trying to share with you what the Torah says. Okay? West of the, whatever, if you don't believe in the finished work of Christ on the cross, you are not obeying God. Okay, yes. You believe the finished work of Messiah is not the finished work. Okay? He restored the covenant. What work are you talking about? Please, listen before you answer. You guys don't look good when you answer without context. Here we go. What is wisdom according to the Scriptures? Okay? According to the Scriptures, it is in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1 through 8. I'm going to read it. It says, Now therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto judgments, which I teach you. Okay? For to do them, that you may live, and go in and possess the land of Yahweh Elohim of your fathers given you. You shall not add of the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish out from it, that you may keep the commandments of Yahweh which I command you. Your eyes have seen what Yahweh did before Baal Peor, for all of them that follow Baal Peor, Yahweh, the Elohim, had destroyed them from among you. Verse 4, For you did cleave unto Yahweh Elohim, are alive every one of you this day. So those who cleave unto Yahweh, they were the ones who stayed alive. It says, Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as Yahweh my Elohim commanded me, that you should do so in the land whither you go to possess. To do, right? Verse 6, Keep therefore and do them. You never find anywhere in Scripture that says just to believe. Are you with me in the room? Where do you find anywhere in the Bible where it says just to believe? Where? Nowhere in the Bible, in the Torah, in the prophets, you're going to find anywhere where it says just believe. Just believe. Yahweh will bless you if you just believe. Just proclaim God, and then He'll believe, He'll bless you, even if you are an idolatrous nation. Even if you choose the gods of the Catholic Church, you're going to be blessed. It's okay. You don't find that anywhere in the Bible. Prove me wrong. People are so quick to argue without reading. Okay? There we go. Let's move on. Verse 7. For what nation is there so great who hath Elohim so nigh unto them as Yahweh Elohim is in all things that we call upon Him for? And what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this Torah which I have set before you this day? So the Torah, according to there, to that verse, the Torah is righteous. Wow, so how can somebody call Torah a yoke and refuse to obey? So you are basically calling Yahweh a liar. Because Yahweh is saying, you know, through Moses, that the Torah is righteous. Now, Proverbs 1, verse 1 through 7. We're talking about what wisdom is right now. Proverbs 1, verse 7 says this: the fear of Yahweh is the beginning of knowledge. But fools, check this out. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. I just established that the Torah is our wisdom. And the word instruction is Torah. So if you are saying that you don't want to follow the Torah and the commandments, according to the Proverbs, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 7, you are a fool. Did you get that? So you see, I don't have to judge anybody. I don't even try to convince anybody. That's not my job. I'm only reading you what the Word says. Okay, so basically, you're bringing judgment upon yourself. Okay, here we go. Now, verse 8 of chapter 1 of Proverbs says, my son, hear the instruction of your father, and forsake not, okay, and forsake not the Torah of your mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace. Oh, wait a second, time out, stop the presses. So if I follow the Torah, it is my wisdom, okay, and in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 9 tells me that if I do not forsake the Torah, that should be an ornament of grace upon my head. Oh, I get it. Okay. Are you guys enjoying yourself tonight? And listen, this is controversial as it is. You know, everybody in this room, you're going to have different types of opinion. And you know what? You are entitled to. You are entitled. And I always said you don't have to agree with me. It's cool. You don't have to agree with me. But I got news for you. Tonight, I'm not talking about me. I'm not trying to explain myself. I'm only reading what Yahweh says. And I choose to believe what Yahweh says above what I think He says. I'm just reading it. So here we go. Proverbs chapter 3 says, verse 1 through 3 says this. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 3 says this. My son, forget not my Torah, but let your heart keep my commandments for the length of days and long life and peace. Wait a minute. So you're only going to have peace, long life, and length of days if you do not forget the Torah and if you keep the Torah in your heart. Let not mercy and truth forsake you, binding about your neck, and write them upon the tablets of your heart. So therefore, mercy and truth is Torah. And if you do away with Torah, then you're not going to have long life, you're not going to have peace, and you're not going to have long days. And that means that the Torah is not written in your heart. I hope you're getting this. I'm telling you, it's going to get interesting. Let's go to verse 4. So you shall find favor and good understanding in the sight of Yahweh and men. Watch this. So let me break it down in verse 1, 2, and 3. If you do not forget the Torah, and if you keep it in your heart, that means that your length of days, you're going to have long life and peace. This shall be added unto us. We will have mercy and truth. And then it says, and I will find favor and good understanding in the sight of Yahweh and men. That's if I keep the commandments. So if you do not keep the commandments, you're not going to find favor in the sight of Yahweh I hope you're understanding this. It says, trust in Yahweh with all your heart, and lean not in your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Let me ask you a question. Is verse 4 and 5 in connection with verse 1, 2, 3? So you can quote me verse 5 and not understand the first four verses. The condition is that if you follow the commandments and you do not forget the Torah, you are trusting Yahweh with all your heart. And you're not leaning on your own understanding, because Torah is our wisdom and our understanding. How many of you have never heard it this way before? Here we go. Let's move on. Let's go to the Brit HaLashon now, okay? Let's talk about what Paul says. Let's talk about what Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Are you guys enjoying yourself tonight? Are you with me? Praise Yah. By the way, I'm going to be teaching every Thursday as much as I can when I'm here. I want to establish a group, you know, you guys to come on Thursday and have, be consistent with it. So that sometimes I can't come up, you know, it's because I'm busy traveling. But as long as I go, I want to stand up and help you guys as much as I can. Now, this is a new one. Master Carpenter says, it says, a law group. Oh, that's a good one. let me change the covenant group. That's who we are. Covenant group. That's who we are, a covenant group. Guys, don't be so quick to red dot them. Just wait until they say something really mean, and then you can red dot them. But don't red dot them so fast, because I want them to stay and listen. If we red dot them too fast, they're going to leave, okay? So we are covenant people, because the law, as you know it, is a covenant with Israel. So we are covenant people. Here we go. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 through 17 says this. The admonition for Paul to Timothy was this: but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that form of child, and from a child, you hast known the holy scriptures, which are able, watch this, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is the Messiah Yeshua. Does it say that the Torah brings salvation? No. It says that by you following the scriptures makes you wise unto salvation. By the way, the only books that Paul had available was the Torah and the prophets. That's the only book, the only books that Paul had available in the first century. He didn't have the letters according to Timothy in the first century. Okay, so he's telling Timothy to follow scriptures, because that will make you wise unto salvation through faith. You see? So he's telling them to obey. And verse 16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of Elohim. In the context of this verse, he is in reference to the Torah and the prophets, not the New Testament. Because the New Testament was not canonized as a book until almost 200 years after he wrote this letter. So therefore, he's saying all scripture is given by inspiration of Elohim. So if you're saying that the Torah is no longer for you, you are saying that the Torah is not inspired by Yahweh. Because that's what was available during the first century. Did you get that? And it's profitable. Watch this. Watch this. This is a really good one. It says all scripture is given by inspiration of Elohim, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So if somebody says that the Torah is no longer for you, and you do away with the Torah, and you're saying that you don't have to follow the commandments of Yahweh, are you going to then be righteous? Can you have sound doctrine if you don't follow Torah? Because according to the context, you can't do it, because, you see, the New Testament is not the only thing you should use. It's the Torah. That the men of Elohim may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Oh, here we go. So now you're going to be perfect into all good works. So there is works. But is it the works of the rabbis? Legal? You know, rabbinical stuff? Or is it biblical commandments? Biblical commandments that he has established. The works that he's talking about are the biblical ones, not the rabbinical ones. Psalms 112, verse 1. Says, praise ye Yahweh, blessed is the man that feareth Yahweh, that delighteth greatly Oh, man, I love this verse. Let me quote this one. There it is. Praise ye Yahweh. Blessed is the man that feareth Yahweh, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. Oh, my Lord. So you are not going to be blessed if you don't keep the commandments. You might be redeemed. You might be redeemed by the blood of Messiah, but you're not going to be blessed. We're not questioning your salvation or redemption today. Remember that, right? Are we clear on that? In this room tonight, we're not talking about redemption or salvation. We're talking about obedience. Obedience. So, you're not going to be blessed if you don't obey. And this is the difference. If you go to all of the chat rooms on Power Talk, you're going to notice something very significant. 90% of the argument is why the Torah is for us or not has to do with people arguing about their salvation. You're going to get them always saying, but we're saved by grace. But we're saved by grace. But, you know, we're saved by grace. But we're not talking about salvation or redemption. We're talking about obedience. It is hypocritical to anybody who's not of the tribes of Israel, who by grace have been grafted by the blood of Messiah into the tree, which is Israel, Jeremiah 11. Okay? To say that I'm going to be blessed, but I refuse to obey the commandments. It is hypocritical. It's not going to fly. Okay, so I don't care how much you say you love God and how much you say you love the Messiah. If you're not obeying the commandments of Messiah that He gave, which are the same commandments that were given on Mount Sinai, don't sit back and expect the blessing. It's not going to happen. Okay, you are redeemed, but you are an idolater and you're walking in disobedience, but you are redeemed. So guess what? You're going to have something called the Great Tribulation to set you up straight, to set you up in obedience. Either you learn it now and be protected in the time of trouble, or you are going to go through hell when everything happens. Okay? Here we go. Let's move on. Psalms 119, verse 6. Oh, now we're going to go into good ones. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. Verse 10. With my whole heart. Oh, man, I love this verse. Let me start again. To me, this is very significant. Then I shall not be ashamed when I have respect unto all your commandments. Verse 10. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. This is my prayer, by the way. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not your commandments from me. The Christians are doing, they want their commandments to be hidden. They don't want to know them. Psalm 119, verse 21 says, Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from your commandments. Watch this. So if you're not following the commandments according to Psalms 119 verse 21, you are proud and you are cursed. I'm not cursing you. That's what it says. If you are not following the commandments and you err, you are cursed and you are proud. So you're calling us arrogant because we want to share with you with the Torah, when in fact the Torah says that you are the proud and you are the cursed for not obeying it. Wow. I love it when Yahweh speaks. His word. I'm reading His words. Okay? Here we go. Verse 21 of 119. Now, verse 32 of 119 says, I will run the way of your commandments. Oh, I love that verse. I will run the way of your commandments when thou hast enlarged my heart. Amen. Thank you, Yah. Verse 35 of Psalms 119 says, Make me to go in the path of your commandments, for therein do I delight. Man, David was delighting in the Torah. That's the only book he had available when he wrote this. There was the prophets have not come about. You know, Nehemiah has not come about. You know, Ezra has not come about. None of the rest of the Bible was written yet. He's talking about the Torah. And he says, Make me go in the path of your commandments, for therein do I delight. Verse 47 says, For I will delight myself in your commandments, which I have loved. Man, my hands also will I lift up unto my commandments, which I have loved, and will meditate in your statutes. Verse 48. Verse 60 says, I made haste and delayed not to keep your commandments. So, by the way, brothers, if you're going to a Christian church and you're in the room trying to put up with me, you know, like scrapping, you know, trying to get the mic to rebuke me and stuff, telling me you live by grace, Don't you dare quote me Psalms if you don't believe in the Torah. Don't you dare even go there. Because when the Psalms were written, the rest of the Bible did not exist. You know? Don't quote me that you're going to be blessed and you're holy because I am holy. And don't even try to preach prosperity to me and quote me Deuteronomy 28. Because the condition of Deuteronomy 28 has to do with obedience. There goes the whole prosperity message. Because you only prosper if you obey. I read that today. So anyway, this is amazing stuff that we're reading here. Only Yahweh, I love His Word. Here we go. Verse 66 of Psalms 119 says this. It says, teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed your commandments. So if you believe the commandments, you have good judgment and knowledge. Okay? 119, chapter 119, verse 73, 70, verse 86 says this. Also, if you do not keep the commandments of your Elohim, 143 says, trouble and anguish take hold on me, yet your commandments are my delight. Man, this is so cool. I tell you, you know, I have a tough time sleeping sometimes. Only because I see the whole world refuting the words of Yahweh. Here we are fighting with the world because we want to obey Him. Psalms 119, verse 151 says, thou art near, O Yahweh. Okay, here we go. Let me read it again. Psalm 100, verse 5. For Yahweh is good. His mercy is everlasting. And His truth endureth all generations. Psalms 119, verse 30. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments I have laid before me. So truth, according to biblical definition, okay, according to biblical definition, is the Torah. So if you renounce, and if you said you don't want to follow Torah, that means that the truth is not in you, emet. Okay, and I'm going to explain a little bit that later. And 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 through 6 agrees with that statement. Let's find out. Let's keep going. 119 verse 43 says this. Take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth. In other words, take Torah now out of my mouth, for I have hope in your judgments. Verse 142 of Psalm 119. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your Torah is truth. I'm almost done, guys. Just bear with me. 15 Puerto Rican minutes. It says, thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your Torah is truth. So if you don't like the Torah, you're saying that Yahweh is not truth. Simple as that. Watch this. Let's keep going. I'm on the road now. I'm on the road. It says, 119, 166 says this. I already read that one. Let me move on. Whoop, no, I didn't. I've got to find a few here. Yeah, I already read those. What does Ecclesiastes... Anyway, let me go back. 119, 166. There it is. It says, I hope for your salvation. Oh, I hope for your Yeshua. And done thy commandments. Interesting. 172, verse 172 of Psalms 119 says, my tongue shall speak your word, for all your commandments are righteous. Oh, wait a second. Time out. You telling me that all the commandments of Yahweh are righteous? And the Torah and the Christians are saying that no, it's not true? Wow. Heavy duty stuff. Do you realize that every time somebody in Christianity says that the Torah is done away with, they are basically calling Yahweh a liar? Do you realize that? Heavy duty stuff, people. We better really re-examine and re-evaluate what we're speaking. Okay? I could call men liars, but God forbid I call Yahweh a liar. Here we go. Psalms 119. 176 says this, I have gone astray like lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget your commandments. Proverbs 3, verse 1 says, my son, forget not my Torah, and let your heart keep my commandments. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 4 says, he taught me also and said unto me, let your heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. I want you to pose that one for me. Proverbs 4, verse 4. Says, he taught me also and said unto me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Interesting. Oh, man. You getting tired yet? Proverbs chapter 10. Oh, wait a minute. No. Chapter 7, verse 2. This is a good one. Chapter 7, verse 2. It says, keep my commandments and live as my Torah, as the apple, and my Torah as the apple of your eye. Oh, my Lord. You know, there's a psalm that says, keep me as the apple of your eye. And you know what? If I want to be kept in God's apple, as his apple of his eye, I just want to keep the commandments. Keep my commandments to live, and my Torah as the apple of your eye. And I'm going to make a declaration today. I want to keep the commandment of Yahweh, not for salvation, but I want to keep it for obedience, because I delight to do his commandments. To me, his Torah is not burdensome. To me, his Torah is the expression of love of a father seeking his bride, seeking for his children. The commandments are a covenant of the Creator of the universe, seeking restoration for his children. And I delight to do that because I love him. Because to me, the commandments is not grievous. It's not grievous. To me, it's a delight to do what he requires of me, because he loves me unconditionally. And now he says, will you come into my covenant? I said, yes. And I said, what do I need to do? And he said, just obey. Keep and do. Obey, keep and do. And you will be righteous. You will be holy. You will be perfect. You will be blessed. And all those things. Ecclesiastes. Oh, wait a minute. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 8. This is a good one. The wise in heart, listen to this, the wise in heart receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. It's a good one. But a prating fool shall fall. The Bible is calling all those who hate the Torah fools. Now, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of men. There it is. Amos chapter 2, verse 4. Amos, we're going to go into the Brihat Hashanah in a minute. I'm almost done, I promise you. I only have like 3 pages of verses and that's it. It says, Amos chapter 2, verse 4 says, thus says Yahweh, for 3 transgressions of Judah and for 4, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have despised the Torah of Yahweh, they have not kept his commandments, and their lies caused them to err, after the which their fathers have walked. So therefore, if Yahweh just Judah, because they did not obey, and they turn away from Yahweh, what do you think is going to happen to Christians that willfully say, we're not going to keep the commandments? Let's go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, 18, 19. You will think that the words of Yeshua will be authority enough to just follow him. You know, just say, okay, Yeshua said it, let's do it. No. They have to try to reinvent the wheel. See, but in Matthew 5, chapter 7, verse 17, 18, and 19 says, think not that I come to destroy the Torah and the prophets. I have not come to destroy, but to fulfill. The word fulfill there in Greek is pleiero. And the word pleiero means to make full of meaning. And verse 18 and 19 says this, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from this Torah, till it's all fulfilled. Not everything is fulfilled, so it has not passed away. Whosoever therefore shall break one of the least of commandments, and shall teach them men so, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, shall do and teach them, okay? The same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So if you teach people to do the commandments, and teach people to do that, then you'll be called great in the kingdom. If you teach them to break them, you're going to be called least in the kingdom. I choose to tell people to do the commandments, and to obey out of love and obedience. What does John say? I'm almost done, and I want you guys to hear this. So, I'm going to take action here real quick. Hold on a minute. Give me a minute. Okay? I'm going to have to take this because I want you to hear this. And you guys are arguing. I'm talking about all this stuff. I want you to hear this. John 15, verse 9, 10 says this. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you, continue ye in my love. Remember what I told you earlier. If you love Yahweh, you'll follow the commandments. Okay? says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. What does that tell you? The words in your Bibles are in red. I don't find anywhere in the New Testament that tells me that the Torah should not be followed. Now, Yeshua says, as the Father hath loved me, so I love you. Continue you in my love. Says, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments, abide in his love. Therefore, if you do not follow the commandments Yeshua kept, and the last time I checked, he followed the Sabbath, he followed the feast, he ate kosher, and he followed the commandments. So basically, Yeshua is saying that, in other words, that if you're not following the commandments, you're not abiding in his love. So the true love of Yahweh, remember that I told you early, is to reveal the Father. Are you with me? Are you guys with me now? I'm almost done, guys. Are you with me? Is this making sense? Are you getting something out of this? You better, because I spent 5 hours trying to put this together. Now, John chapter 14, verse 15 says this. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, do we need extra interpretation on this? Yeshua said it. Don't we should do it? What commandments did he keep? I mean, I don't understand what's so hard about this. If you love me, keep my commandments. What commandments did he keep? He kept Sabbath. But when was the last time Yeshua went to Sunday school? And he ate a nice ham sandwich. And he kept Easter and Christmas. I mean, you would think, right, that if the Messiah said, if you love me, keep my commandments, and he kept the commandments of the Father like he stated in John 15, then why are we following things that Yeshua didn't do? You know, why would we do things that Yeshua didn't do? If Yeshua, in fact, okay, didn't do these things, why are we doing those things? Okay, I'm asking the warrior and Yeshua to dot everybody for me, okay? I want to finish it up. I want you guys, your attention for a minute. So he's doing that because I told him to. Can you guys give me a minute so I can do that for a minute? Okay? So let me red dot you, except for Shira. She's posting verses. I'm almost done. I really need your attention. Please give me that courtesy. I don't mean to be rude. Is that okay? All right. Just bear with me. And I'll be done. This is very important teaching today and tonight. I think I'm doing a good job explaining the will of the Father in our lives. And we have to obey. I know some of you are good. We're not talking about the bad ones here. I just want to finish. And I just want to be able to do this without looking into the screen for a minute. I'm not punishing anybody. Is that cool? And I appreciate you guys staying with me. It's almost 2 hours over what I teach. But this is very important. Let's continue. It says in John chapter 14, verse 21 says this. He that has my commandments and keepeth them, and keepeth them. Okay? He that has my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loved me. Watch this. He that has my commandments and keepeth them. Yeshua said, he that has my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loved me. So if you do not keep the commandments of Yeshua that he kept, that he got from Torah, then you don't love Messiah. And he that loved me shall love that the beloved of my Father, for I love him and will manifest myself to him. So if you do not keep the commandments, you don't love the Father, and he's not going to reveal himself in you. That's really what it's saying. Okay? And it says, John chapter 4, verse 23, Yeshua answered and said, say unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Listen to this. If a man love me, he will keep my words. What words did the Messiah use? The Torah. And my Father will love him. Oh, wait a minute. So the Father would only love you if you keep the words of Messiah. And if you keep the words of Messiah, then you love the Lord and the Father. You follow? And we will come unto him and make our... Oh, wait a minute. Let's read that again. Chapter 14, verse 23 says... Yeshua answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him. So the Father is not going to love him. He's not going to love you if you don't keep the words of the Messiah. And we will come unto him. So the condition of the Father dwelling within you is that you keep the words of the Father which was given by the Messiah. Verse 24. He that love me He that loveth me, not keepeth not my word. I'm sorry, let me read that again. A Puerto Rican Jew reading King James Version doesn't really add up. Let me read that. Verse 24 says this. And he that loveth me not, keep not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine. Oh my Lord. Oh heck, it's getting ready to break loose. Watch this. He that loveth me not, keep not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. So, wait a minute. Wasn't the Father who gave Messiah the commandments on Mount Sinai? In other words, wasn't it the Father who gave the Torah through Yeshua, the Word, the Memra? So if you love Messiah, you're gonna love the words of the Father. You're gonna love the commandments. Do you follow what I'm saying? Say yes, even though you can't put anything up. You see why I wanted you to be read that right now so you can listen to this? Very significant. Chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. I'll repeat it again. Chapter 14, verse 21. I already said that. Let's go to 1 John, chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. And I'm almost done. I only have only like 6 more verses to post here. Okay? 1 John, chapter 2, verse 3 through 6. Anyone who doesn't want to follow the commandments, this is for you. It says this. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. So if you don't know Messiah, if you don't keep the commandments, you don't know the Messiah. He that saith, I know him, and keep not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in you. Remember that we already established that truth in biblical language is Torah. So if you do not keep the commandments, you are a liar, and the Torah is not in you, which the Torah is the heart of Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. You follow what I'm saying? So watch this. He that saith, I know him and keep not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily the love of Yahweh is perfected in. Thereby know we that we are in him. He that saith, he abideth in him. Anybody who says that the Messiah dwelleth in you, ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. So let me get this straight. One, Yeshua kept Sabbath. I already mentioned that. Two, he kept the feast. Three, he ate kosher. Four, he kept the commandments, the Torah. All right? Five, he went to a synagogue. He went to shul. Okay? Six, he spoke Hebrew. People even have issues about learning Hebrew. So if you say you know the Messiah, you better keep his commandments. And he said in John that his commandments are from the Father, not from him. So therefore, if you do not keep the commandments, you are a liar and the Torah is not in you. The truth is not in you. Oh, but wait a minute. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. And verse 24. And whosoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. So when you keep the commandments, that is pleasing in the sight of the Father. 1 John chapter 3, verse 24 says, and he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us, by the Ruach which he has given us. So don't think you have the Ruach of Yahweh if you're not keeping the commandment, because this verse is very clearly. The Spirit of Yahweh dwelt in you if you keep the commandments. That's what it says. 1 John chapter 5, verse 2 and 3 tells you what the love of God is. It says, by this we know that we love the children of Elohim, when we love Elohim and keep his commandments. For this is the love of Elohim, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. 2 John chapter 1, verse 6 says this. And this is love, that we walk. Listen, it doesn't say that you believe. 2 John chapter 1, verse 2. Listen to what it says. Chapter 1, verse 6, I'm sorry. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. And this is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, you shall walk in it. By the word beginning, if you would have the Hebrew Bible, it would be Bereshit. It wouldn't be like beginning when Messiah died on the cross. That's not the beginning. This verse is drawing you back to the Torah, back to Genesis, and you shall walk in it from the beginning. Let me give you the best piece of advice, and I'm done here in a few minutes. If you want to really learn about who Yahweh is and about Messiah and the Torah, start studying from Genesis 1:1. Here we go. Revelation chapter 12, verse 17 says this. And the dragon was wroth with the woman being Israel, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of Elohim. I have the testimony of Yeshua, the Messiah. So, for all you Christians in the room that refuse to follow Torah, the verse is very clear. When you go through the tribulation, don't worry if you don't follow the Torah, because the war is going to be the dragon, the anti-Messiah, or the enemy, the Satan, is going to wage war against the children of her seed who keep the commandments of the Lord and have the testimony of Yeshua. Revelation chapter 14, verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. He are they that keep the commandments of Elohim and the faith of Yeshua. And Revelation chapter 22, verse 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to eat of the life, of the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Watch this. Blessed are they, who are they? The remnant, see? That do his commandments. It doesn't say believe in the commandments. It doesn't say believe in Jesus. It says do the commandments, that they may have the right to eat of the tree of life. So therefore, okay, if you don't keep the commandments, you're not going to eat of the tree of life. You don't have a right to go to the tree of life, or may enter through the gates into the city. Why? Because the city has 12 gates. Okay? And heirs of the kingdom which hath promised to them that love him. For ye despise the poor. Do not the rich men oppress you and draw before you the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which you are called? If you fulfill the royal law according to Scripture, thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. Wait a minute. If the law is done away with, how come James is quoting you the Torah? Leviticus 18. Love your neighbor as yourself. Okay? It says, but if you have respect of persons, you commit sin. What is sin? Breaking the commandment. And are convinced of the Torah as transgressors. But whosoever shall keep the whole Torah, and you offend in one point, he is guilty of all. That's why you don't obtain salvation through the Torah. You obtain redemption only through the Messiah. Okay? For you get instruction and blessings through observing the Torah. Verse 11. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now, if thou commit no adultery, if you kill, thou art become a transgression of the law. So speak you, and so do. Watch this. So speak you, so and so do, as they that shall be judged by the Torah of liberty. Wow. The Torah of liberty. So that means Torah is liberty, right? It says, for he shall have judgment without mercy, and he that showeth no mercy, and mercy rejoices against judgment. So what doeth profit, my brethren, thou art a man said he has faith and have no works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, and be ye warm and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doeth the profit? By the way, helping the homeless, helping the needy is a commandment in the Torah. Okay? Yes. It's almost done. I'll be done in a minute. 2 minutes. Just give me a minute. I got 3 more verses. Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yeah, a man may say, thou hast faith, I have works. Show me thy faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Which works is he talking about? The commandments of the Torah, not the rabbinical ones. Thou believest that there is one Elohim? Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Okay? But will thou know, obey man, that faith without works is dead? Absolutely. So here is teaching us that without works, without following the commandments, you can never really be blessed. And you're only going to be blessed if you follow the commandments. All right, I'm done. Open up remove all the red dots for me. Go to the top and remove them. And now let it begin. All right, now, anybody has a question according to the topic? Question in regards to the topic.
Shalom, Rico. I've been studying when they came in from the wilderness into the promised land. And Yahshua circumcised them. They weren't circumcised in the wilderness, but they kept the commandments. Or they never would have been allowed to go into the promised land. So then after they were circumcised, they went into the promised land. They broke that covenant. The covenant that they broke was a blood covenant, because circumcision deals with blood. And to me, if an agreement is broken, then whatever binded that agreement must be shed to break it, must be spilt again to break it. So a new covenant can be made. Yahweh's covenant with us was never broken, but the covenant that our ancestors made with Him, and that's why I believe that the children were not circumcised when they were in the wilderness. But when they go into the promised land, the first thing that is done is their circumcision. And I believe that it is a circumcision of the heart that is what Yahweh is more interested in.
What happened there? I didn't take the mic. Anybody else? Come on up.
My question is once you realize Christ already fulfilled Torah for you in your place, why would you feel the need to try to fulfill it? Why would you try to? You can't do it.
Obviously, you were not really listening, because the Bible says that the condition of blessings, you're confusing one or the other. We're not talking about redemption. We're not talking about salvation. I said that from the beginning. What Messiah did in the cross, or the stake, or the tree, was to allow you. Let me ask you a question. Kilram, let me ask you a question. You're a Gentile, right? Post it on the screen. You're a Gentile? Are you going to answer? Put it on the thing. Yes, okay, you're a Gentile. Explain to me, being a Jew, how you can be part of Israel, or part of the covenant, and not obey the conditions of the covenant. How can you justify yourself to be back in the covenant and refuse to obey the commandments for obedience? For obedience. What Yeshua did on the stake was to allow you to come into the covenant by faith. So now that you're in the covenant, let me ask you a question. I want you to answer this for me. Are you grafted in? Post it and then I'll let you answer. Are you grafted in? Write it in. Go ahead, write it in. If you're grafted in. Okay. Who are you grafted to? And who are the branches? Okay, go ahead, brother. You got 2 minutes. Go ahead. This is your chance.
Well, I'm grafted in, but the point is that He is the fulfillment of Torah in my place. It's not my position to sit there and try to fulfill Torah myself. He is the fulfillment of Torah in my place. That's it. It's not. I'm not trying to be somebody that did Torah to make myself look good before God. My righteousness has been given to me. It's been imputed to me. It's an imputed righteousness. Does that say enough for you?
No, you actually proved that Yeshua is not the Messiah by your answer, because you didn't answer your question. We're not talking about redemption. We're talking about obedience. You're not getting it. See, you're not getting what I'm saying. Obedience allows you to be part of the blessing. Redemption came by faith through Messiah. He allowed you to be grafted in. You didn't ask the question. Okay? I asked you, are you grafted into what? You didn't even answer the question. If you grafted to what? Answer the question and then go from there. See, you're confusing one or the other. So therefore, I could steal from you. I could kill you. I could sleep with your wife. I could just take anything and lie to you. Because you don't believe that you have to follow the commandments. So what do you follow? That makes no sense. So I asked you, who are you grafted into? You didn't answer that. So basically, you can just sit back and enjoy your redemption without obedience when I read you over 100 verses that in the Bible, my brother, not me, in the Bible says that you have to obey, to keep and do, to be blessed. It doesn't say to be saved, because redemption comes by faith. But obedience brings the blessing. Man, I gave you a whole bunch of verses. Go back and look them up. You are defending what you believe, but yet you don't know to whom you are grafted into. The most basic question that you, and you don't even know the answer. So find me the verse in the Old Testament that tells me to what you grafted into. Jacqueline, guys, to keep it to a minimum, okay? Because I have to go pretty soon.
Kedron, the one question you should ask yourself is why? Why would God, or why would Yahweh, want us to keep His commandments so we can live among each other and not devour one another?
His commandments aren't difficult. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and love one another. It's pretty, it's not very complicated. It's very simple. And on that note, you understand that the Torah is a shadow and a type of Christ. The fulfillment is found in Christ. You can't fulfill it. It's impossible for you to do it. You can try. You can do it with all your effort and all your effort to try to show yourself to be somebody that fulfills the law, but you just can't do it. You're not going to be capable of it. Only Christ could do that. He is the Torah, if you will. He is the Word. You're not going to be able to do it yourself. It's not possible.
Brother, let's leave it there. Because you know what? You're just not getting it. You were not listening. I hope you were here for the whole teaching. And let me ask you a question. With whom? Jackie, let him get the mic right after this. And then I want to ask you a question, and then we'll be done with this. Okay? Please answer this question for me. With whom was the covenant with? With whom was the covenant? With Israel or the Gentiles? Answer that question, and then I know where you stand. Come on up to the mic.
Well, you're talking about two covenants. You're talking about a covenant with Israel, and you're talking about the new covenant with believers that come to Christ and with anybody that believes. I mean, it's the same period of grace, but the point is that the gospel is preached to us now. I don't see how you can disconnect. You just because the Israelites heard it from Moses, they had a covenant that was mentioned to them by Moses, doesn't sit there and nullify the fact that Christ had a different message to give. His was of grace and truth.
Okay, well, you're right off the get-go. Let me quote you one verse that Yeshua said himself in Matthew chapter 15, verse 5. I did not come except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The covenant is with the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You're obviously not going to know who the lost sheep of the house of Israel are. They're the 10 tribes that were scattered abroad. And also, to any Gentile who believes, who is grafted into the tree. You are confusing salvation and redemption to obedience. And I've been saying that all night. Well, obviously, you're going to defend what you believe. But I got news for you. If you consider yourself a Gentile, and you're not doing what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2. Where did he go? Okay. If you don't do what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, that you are part of the commonwealth of Israel, that you're no longer strangers, no foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. Okay? Then guess what? The gospel is not for you, brother. Because the gospel is for the houses of Israel and any Gentile who graft themselves into Israel. Simple as that. You didn't answer to whom you grafted into. You don't know who the 10 tribes of Israel is. Okay? And you don't even know to whom was the gospel preached to. Okay? Right, so anyway, I'll challenge any of you, all the Christians that are in the room, to prove that to me through the Bible. Through the Bible. Okay? Okay, guys? I got to get up at 3 in the morning, so I'm going to take Jackie and then Keljum, and then I'm done. I think I proved my point. If somebody's still willing to argue with the words of Yahweh after so many verses that I posted today, I posted over 100 verses. Man. And this guy still thinks, oh, all I have to do is just believe in Jesus. You know, I just showed you that believing in Yahweh is not just enough. You have to obey Him to get the blessing. You are grafted in by faith. Now you have to obey. What is wrong with that? What does obedience have to do with one or the other? So keep it to a minimum. Go ahead, Jackie, and then kill a room, and then we leave. Well, thank you for coming, guys. And I appreciate it, and I appreciate you coming over, and bear with me for the last 2 hours.
The two commandments are to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second is to love thy neighbor as thyself. He never said, just speak them to people. He said, live them before people. You cannot love me as you love yourself unless you are keeping his commandments, because you will steal from me. You will kill me. You will take my husband from me. You see, I know why he gave the commandments, so we could live among each other, Jew and Gentile, without devouring one another. That's why his commandments are not only to the homeborn, but also to the stranger that comes in. He is not a respecter of persons. When you make him a respecter of persons, then you do not know the only true God.
Last word on this, but the Torah, Christ fulfilled it. Man couldn't fulfill it. Only Christ could. And what the commandments are is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and to love one another. That's the commandments. Not complicated. You don't have to put a bunch of bags on the donkey's back. It's not complicated at all. Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and to love one another. Believe in the sacrifice that He paid for you on that cross and His resurrection, and love one another. That's it. Not complicated. But if you want to make it complicated, you want to put a bunch of bags on a donkey's back until he breaks down, you go right ahead. But I speak against that. Just love one another and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it.
Hey, Kilram, this verse is for you. You say you speak against the Torah because you say you don't want to follow the Torah. That's what you said. All of you heard that, right? Did you all hear that? Are you all testimony with me? You heard it. Okay, now these verses are for you. Please don't go anywhere, Kilram. I want to read this to you. I am a witness against you tonight. Listen to what it says. It says, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. Also, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 says this, for if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remain no sacrifices for sins. You're not going to take the mic. I'm going to read you this verse. But a certain fearful looking for a judgment of fury, indignation that shall devour the adversary. And Hebrews chapter 10 verse 28 says, but he that despiseth the law of Moses dies without mercy on the two or three witnesses. How much sore punishment suppose you shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of Elohim and has counted the blood of the covenant, whereas he was sanctified unto unholy thing and has despised the Spirit of grace. So, Kilram, based on the verses that I read you, I am a witness against you today that you said that you no longer want to follow the Torah, and you spoke against it. Now, when you get into the kingdom, when you get into the judgment seat of Yahweh, I'm not going to judge you, but I'm going to be a witness against you. We have 63 people that saw it too. Okay? So, remove the red dot, and now come back to the mic, and then we got to go. There we go. There it is. Come on up. Give me the answers.
You're not understanding Hebrews 10:26. Hebrews 10:26 is speaking to those that reject Christ as the sacrifice for their sins. That's what it's talking about in Hebrews 10:26. It's not talking about if you go out and do the filthy five and dirty dozen. It's talking about rejection of Christ. It's talking about unbelief. That's first off. Yeah, I clear it up. It's not talking about what you think it's talking about. It's referring to those that reject Christ as the sacrifice for their sins. They're in unbelief. and they go back to sacrifices again. That's what it's talking about there. And as far as I'm concerned, you can be a witness against me all day long on the day of judgment. It's not going to bother me at all, friend. I feel quite fine in my faith. I understand Christ paid the penalty for me on that cross and rose from the dead. And I love my neighbor, and I'm just fine. So you're not going to cause me any problems.
Well, brother, you have it all figured out. There you go. Thank you. I'm glad that you have it all figured out. It's really sad, but hey, good luck. I'll tell you that. The verses were on. Anyway, hey, thank you guys for coming. I hope you enjoy the teaching. And some of you who wants to maintain yourself lawless, you're going to have to argue with Yahweh, because He is the one who gave the commandments. So thank you so much. Okay? It's pretty sad that people have no ears. Like he says, he is very happy with his faith. You see, I'm not happy with my faith. I'm happy to follow the commandments of Yahweh. It's his faith, not mine. And if you reject his Torah, like he says in John, if you don't keep my commandments, the Father's not going to abide in you. So anyway, I thank you for coming. Thank you for all of you that don't agree with me either. It's okay. You don't have to agree with me. Trust me, I quoted you enough verses that I'm not really going to lose sleep over it. So, todah rabah, bakasha, lehitraot, and I'll see you guys some other time. Kerem, thank you for coming, brother. Hopefully, I'll see you again. And you got to understand, I'm not judging you. Basically, when you stand against the Torah, you're basically not my friend. Because, see, I got to love you, but I don't have to like you. You see what I mean? When you are completely against the Torah, then I can't really be your friend. Because how can I be with the enemy of Yahweh? Thank you, Nomad, for coming up. And saying hello, I appreciate it. Anybody who wants to learn a little bit more about Hebrew language and Paleo-Hebrew, please, that gentleman right there, Nomad Man, he's, in my opinion, one of the best teachers in the pictograph Paleo-Hebrew, and he can really teach you a lot. I learn a lot from him. So I'm very thankful that you came into the room, and you don't have to agree with me. It's okay, but remember, let Yahweh be true, and let men be liars. And anybody who turns against the words of Yahweh and renounces them, they're a liar and the truth is not in them. May Yahweh bless you and keep you. And I have to go, guys. Shalom aleichem. Thank you for coming. And we'll see you soon. Thank you. Shalom.